Welcome to Generations, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor and a father. And I'm a father of five, but not the father of the year, I need to add. Dave Buhner, also in studio with me, another father. Father of five, but Dave, also not the father of the year. But we want to talk about the father of the year today on this edition of Generations, and that would be John Edwards. Dave, I don't know if you knew this, but the Father's Day Association of America evidently honored John Edwards on June 27, 2007, with the Father of the Year Award. Now, the senator was in New York receiving his Father of the Year Award on June 27th, honoring honor from the Father's Day Mother's Day Council exactly 8 months before the child was born, February 27, 2008.
Which child?
Francis Quinn Hunter evidently was conceived right around the time he received that award. And as you know, that now it's all out. It's all out. That while he was running for president of the United States, he was engaged in an illicit affair.
That's shocking. I thought his wife had cancer. I thought she was standing by her man, and he brought her on stage to say she had incurable cancer that's now in remission.
Oh yeah, and he had denied any affair with this woman, up one side and down the other. Yeah, he was a big fat liar too. you know, so Dave, there's irony all over this thing. I mean, the guy receives the Father of the Year Award from the Father's Day Mother's Day Association of America, and his girlfriend is pregnant.
Well, in fairness, he didn't receive Husband of the Year Award.
Yeah, so...
You just Father of the Year. And apparently he's fathering with multiple women.
He's a father of a lot of kids, I guess. Who knows how many kids? Apparently a real father of a lot of kids.
I think if you're in North Carolina, there's an entrepreneurial opportunity here for somebody to make T-shirts that says, "I'm John Edwards' love child." I think you could sell thousands and thousands of those T-shirts.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, Dave, this is incredible. This is incredible.
Well, it's really amazing. It is incredible because John Edwards has done the very thing that you didn't think could be done. It's miraculous what John Edwards has done. John Edwards has given lawyers a bad name. I mean, you knew he was sleazy because he was a trial lawyer, and you knew he was sleazy because he was channeling dead children from the grave. But this goes even beyond that. This gives sleazy lawyers an even worse name.
Dave, I'm trying to think of a presidential candidate on the Democrat side who hasn't done something like, well, Bill Clinton. No, I guess he was a problem, too.
Well, it just depends how you define it.
Remember Gary Hart?
Gary
Hart from Colorado. He ran for president, too, you remember, and then he got in trouble, too.
Yeah, he was the leading nominee here from Colorado. He was a man of new ideas, they said. Now, the thing with Gary Hart is if you didn't live through it, if you go back and you read the accounts, you're going to think it's fiction. You're going to think it's really cheesy fiction because here was Gary Hart being caught on a boat called Monkey Business.
I remember that.
Now, that doesn't happen in real life. I mean, that kind of irony. And then he delivers his speech from a place called Troublesome Gulch. Now, you can't write that kind of fiction. Nobody would believe it. But that was the way it really happened.
You know, Dave, what's happening here is we're just living a day without integrity. I mean, 95% of Americans confess to premarital sex on their marriage day. You've got everything coming apart. We have almost a total lack of integrity here. And, you know, it doesn't take much to topple one of these politicians. Reminds me of Robespierre and some of the guys during the French Revolution. It took an old hag to come in and call Robespierre, you know, her love child. And the whole thing came apart for Robespierre. But right now, I just think you've got a revolutionary immoral society, and leadership is going to be pretty transient. It just doesn't last long. There may be some difference between Republicans and Democrats, but maybe the Democrats are all sleazeballs, and most of the Republicans.
Well, here's the difference. This may be an actual resume enhancer for Jonathan Edwards. This might get him the VP nomination.
That would be a difference, yes. This might put him on the ticket.
This makes him relate to most of his party. Now, the difference is the Republican Party, you know, good half of them are sleazes, but they feign outrage better. So when Larry Craig has a very wide stance, I mean a wide stance, there's a little bit of outrage feigned, but he still has a wide stance.
Yeah. Larry Craig caught in a Minneapolis St. Paul Airport restroom, engaging in homosexual something or other. But, yeah, he had some moral outrage against those accusations. And some of us have a hard time believing it, but...
Note to self, stay out of the airport restrooms.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Generations Radio broadcast, and yeah, we're poking a little fun at the system. Why? Because the system itself is corrupt. It's corrupt. There is no integrity. There's very little moral integrity anywhere in American society today. I think we're just years away from people just acknowledging, hey, I'm a total moral sleazeball, elect me. Oh, they got to put this on the in the brochures in the 2012 elections.
That is the audacity of hope, isn't it? That I can be a sleazeball and you'll still buy it?
Yeah, exactly. The audacity of hope, my friends, on Generations Today. And we'll be back in just a moment to talk about two important court decisions from California in the news today on Generations. Be back in a moment. On Generations, my friends, Kevin Swanson here, a father of five, but not the father of the year, may I add. Also, Dave Buhner, not the father of the year in studio with me.
I didn't even get nominated.
I know. What is this, Dave? Well, maybe you didn't father enough kids.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, back in the news, folks, this week, on the serious side, two critical court decisions in America have set the direction for the nation, especially when it comes to education and home education. Critical, critical decisions happening in California. The first decision, good news, as far as I'm concerned, a unanimous decision on the part of the California Court of Appeals for the Second Appellate District ruled that California statutes permit homeschooling as a species of private school education. That came from the same court that in February illegalized homeschooling. Now, it was granted a rehearing some 2 to 3 months ago thanks to an outrage, a feedback from probably hundreds of thousands of homeschoolers around America. And the same three-judge panel reversed the decision just last week. Now, here's HSLDA Chairman Mike Ferris. It is unusual for an appellate court to grant a petition for rehearing, as this court did in March, but it is truly remarkable for a court to completely reverse its own earlier opinion. We thank you for your prayers and give God the glory for this great victory. That and the HSLDA update I received in my email box a day or two ago. So, again, number one, first court decision that was critical, a decision that reversed a previous court decision that had illegalized homeschooling in the state of California. And Dave, I think this decision is going to stand, and this is a remarkable decision because I think it's going to certify homeschool freedoms, not just in California, but in other states around the union for the next 10, 15, 20 years. I think this is critical.
In the long run, this will be a very good thing for homeschooling. Of course, it gave us a little scare. It's amazing. The court here just basically is claiming a mulligan. Now, the decision was vacated by a higher court. It went back. They reheard it. They said, oops, we're sorry. We got that part wrong. No, you can homeschool. In the long run, though, this solidifies the case for homeschooling. Not only do we have this court decision, we have the whole circus that surrounded it, the vacating of the earlier decision. Really, a unanimous decision. All three judges say, yep, we got that one wrong. Sorry, bad one on us. Move along.
Me bad. But that good news for homeschoolers. Hey, 2.4 million homeschoolers across America should be celebrating. And by God's grace, Dave, let's just say it, by God's grace, homeschool freedoms have been maintained and defended by some great attorneys, but I think ultimately by the sovereignty of God, who wants to preserve this wonderful movement that's returning a biblical worldview and parental relationships and parental control over education. I think this is one of the greatest things happening in America today. And the fact that we have a court decision in California that to retain this freedom is a wonderful, wonderful blessing from God. Okay, now, I said there are two court decisions that were critical. The second court decision came within a week of that one, and that was the court decision relating to whether or not the UC system can impose secular curriculum on Christian schools and Christian homeschools in the state of California. And here it is. A federal judge has said that the University of California can deny course credit to applicants from Christian high schools whose textbooks declare the Bible infallible and reject evolution. Rejecting claims of religious discrimination and stifling of free expression, U.S. District Judge James Otero of Los Angeles said UC's review committee cited legitimate reasons for rejecting the text, not because they contained religious viewpoints, but because they omitted important topics in science and history and failed to teach critical thinking. Dave, important topics like evolution, important topics like God does not belong in the metaphysic, as in important topics like God does not providentially rule in history. Everything is chance. Everything is just a determinate universe that is maintained by nothing but cosmic dust floating around the universe of pure chance. Okay, that was eliminated from textbooks on history and science in Christian high schools and Christian homeschools in California, and because those important topics were missed, they have denied the use of these things on transcripts for those applying to UC schools.
They may deny those in the schools. However, they may not deny illegal aliens.
All right. Well, folks, this group is going to appeal this to the Ninth Circuit Appeals, and my guess is they're going to maintain the lower court. Jennifer Monk, attorney for the Advocates for Faith and Freedom, said Tuesday, it appears that UC, University of California, is attempting to secularize private religious schools. Now, Dave, I want to analyze this for a moment because I think these decisions are very, very critical. They have set a direction. They have set a direction. Now, granted, they haven't set a direction for the entire nation, nor for every school or every college in California. Nevertheless, I think these decisions have set a direction for the nation. What is happening, what judges are saying in California, I think they're saying this all over the United States, is that on the one hand, it's okay if you guys want to homeschool, okay? You can homeschool on your island of freedom over there. The rest of us are going to be socialists. The rest of us are going to be bound to state systems, and we're going to be materialists and naturalists, and we're not going to acknowledge God in the metaphysic, all right? That's our worldview. So you guys can have your little worldview over on your island, and this first decision strengthened the island of freedom. If you want to teach your children your world and life view, that's fine. Now, on the other hand, what they're saying is now you can just stay on your island. You know, you can just stay on your island. They're effectively locking homeschoolers out of their world and life view, and they're forcing Christian schools and Christian homeschools to either be on the island, and because they can't come back to the UC schools and those that are funded by state dollars on the college level, and you can stay on your island, or you can secularize. So while allowing freedom for those who want to get out of the secular worldview, if you pull out, they're not going to let you back in. You see what I'm saying, Dave? If you pull out, they're not going to let you back into their system. They're forcing homeschoolers to find, I think, creative ways to circumvent the system. But here's the point. Here's the point. This is going to produce two reactions among Christian schools and homeschools. On the one hand, they're either going to encourage homeschoolers to compromise and start coming back into the system, or it will encourage them to further abandon the godless system of education. All right. So, again, you got two positions established by two court decisions. Either they're going to encourage homeschoolers and Christian homeschoolers to compromise and start coming back into the system, which is happening all over the place, by the way. You've got government-funded programs here in Colorado that are giving money to homeschoolers right and left to encourage them back into the system, but, Dave, they won't allow you to use the money to fund Christian curriculum. In fact, one school district out on the Western Slope has offered, you know, thousands of dollars for homeschoolers who are willing to take the money, but see, 2 years into it, they said, you can't use Christian curriculum for this stuff, you know. So there have actually been people who ripped the covers off of Apologia science textbooks, Dave, to try to get them to fund their science textbooks, because unfortunately the Apologia textbooks, you know, use words like God and Christ on the front cover, and that doesn't get funded by your naturalistic, materialistic, atheistic public schools.
What was Dr. J. Weil thinking when he put that God stuff in the science books?
I know. I don't think he was thinking that he'd have to kowtow to the public schools and public school funding. But again, what they're doing is they're encouraging, as much as they can, they're encouraging homeschoolers to come back into the system and Christian schoolers to come back into the system where they obliterate God from the metaphysic. And they keep God out of the textbooks, as far away from science and history as they can possibly keep God, and because that's their worldview. The atheistic, naturalistic, materialistic worldview is the accepted worldview in American public schools, and any other worldview, any other religious perspective is denied.
Well, they're saying if you don't get on the track of socialism, you can't get back in the track of socialism. The UC public university system is a socialist system. It's underwritten by taxes. And they're saying if you don't jump back in, say, by 10th grade, if you don't get in the socialist program, the socialist stream by 10th grade, you can't do it in the college system. So it's just a matter of how much socialism do you want? Do you want socialism in the college years? Do you want socialism in the high school years?
And, Dave, we've said this many times, but these public schools, these public universities, have a radically different worldview than that taught in the Word of God. They're going to teach science without the fear of God. There's going to be no university professor getting down on his knees and worshiping God in the chemistry lab. Why? Because he denies God, and he doesn't thank God, and he doesn't worship God, and he doesn't acknowledge God, and he doesn't fear God, and that's not our worldview. We think that's a dangerous form of education that inevitably is going to destroy education over a long period of time. If you don't worship and fear the living God, chances are you're not going to create good science like just about every Christian scientist did in chemistry, physics, et cetera, to launch modern science. Guys like Boyle and Newton and all these guys were God worshippers, and they brought God into the laboratory all the time. They were constantly encouraging people to worship the God who established this orderly world that was discoverable by men who were created in the image of God and thought God's thoughts after him. See, these were the guys who formed modern science. Well, ever since the 1800s, ever since Darwin, these scientists in the UC system and the university professors that teach science have been doing everything they can to destroy science and to destroy a godly view of science. And, Dave, I think that's the direction the UC system is going. But our children need to understand the biblical worldview. And I'm not even sure our children belong in the UC schools unless they're there to tear down imaginations. People ask me, should my children go to public schools? I say yes, if their goal is to obey 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. You're to go in there and tear down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ, says Paul. Those are your marching orders. Now, if our children at 18, 19, 20 years of age are able to walk into these universities, they're epistemologically self-conscious enough, smart enough, they have their apologetics down well enough, they can walk into these classrooms and tear down these imaginations, that's fine. But my guess is that these admissions departments don't want epistemologically self-conscious Christians coming in, busting up their nice little materialistic naturalistic system. Dave, that's my guess. I'm guessing they don't want these kids to come in and start tearing down imaginations, standing up in these classrooms and saying, excuse me, professor, but you've got it all wrong. Where are the transitional forms? You don't even have a mechanism. Your Darwinist theory is totally bogus. And by the way, your punctuated equilibrium system is not even a mechanism. Nobody's ever defined it, never has proven it. Nobody even knows that it is a materialistic system that would work. So you have no mechanisms, and this whole evolutionary thing is a piece of junk. See, if there's kids who were that well instructed in a Christian worldview that they could tear down these imaginations, my guess is the UC system doesn't want them. And that's why these admissions departments do not want these children in these schools.
Well, once you deny God in your metaphysic, in other words, once you deny the existence of God, you by default lose the ethics that God defines. That's why in Colorado a few years ago, it was for the university system that Hank Brown, a good conservative, right, said, no, you need to go out and steal your neighbor's tax money by Proposition C and Proposition D in order to take your neighbor's money and pay for this education system. This public education system, because apparently we weren't throwing enough money at it. And once you deny the ethic and you're willing to steal for it, you're also going to deny the epistemology. That's the sense of truth, and that's where science fails. Right now, what's coming out of the university science departments, at least by some of the PhDs, is more science fiction than science. I mean, I was reading today a university-published paper about the possibility of using dark matter to move through space faster than the speed of light. Now, that's a wonderful theory. Only problem is we don't have dark matter. We don't know the geometry of space, and we have no science to undergird this theory. And this is what happens when you deny God in your metaphysics. You'll deny him in your ethics, and stealing will be fine, and so will murder. You don't mind killing the babies. And soon truth goes out the window, and what do you have is you have a university system that exists for the sake of keeping the university system going.
And, Dave, scientists today are increasingly irrational. Many of these kids graduating from these colleges have no way to distinguish between pseudoscience and science because they have no basic worldview that defines what science is. Well, I think all of this is going to force homeschoolers to find more creative ways to circumvent the system. And I think that's just fine. I think it's okay if homeschoolers stay out of the UC system. Maybe this is a warning from God saying, you know what? You guys don't belong in the UC system anymore. Maybe more homeschoolers should work around the system, develop their own post-high school forms of study. Maybe they should stay home and study college at home. There's many options today of staying in the home and learning yourself at home, and maybe you'll be more of a contractual employee. Maybe you should be more of an entrepreneur. By the way, a lot of homeschoolers are wanting to escape the college corporate track anyway. They want to be entrepreneurs. They don't want to waste all that time and money spending $140,000 in some college where they don't learn anything and they have a bad worldview and the academics are as watered down as they can be, and they have been watered down for the last 50 years. And it's not life integrated. And nobody cares about their character. Nobody's focused on relationships. Their professors could care less about them. Maybe this college system is for the birds. Maybe we should abandon this college system and develop our own forms of education, better forms of education. Well, we already done that for K-12. Hey, we're 25 to 35 percentile points above the national average in our homeschools all over America today. So maybe we should do this in the college years. And I think there are a lot of homeschoolers that are saying it's time to get out of the box, get out of the system, and develop a better form of education. And a lot of homeschoolers are doing that now.
Well, of course, homeschoolers have the opportunity to go to any private school or go to public schools in other states. They have many opportunities, but for somebody who has a vision, they could start a college that basically brings in and draws and appeals to the homeschoolers. And my guess is because these children have been better prepared for life, they will smoke the public university system and embarrass them.
Can we escape the public school system and still survive? Well, we have so far. So far, so good. Can we survive in the marketplace if we do not make proper prostrations to the god of materialism in the UC university system, the humanist god of the state, et cetera, et cetera? I think we can survive just fine. I think by God's grace, we'll be doing just fine. And we will produce some of the best economic systems and business systems you can imagine. Ladies and gentlemen, time to get out of the box when it comes to education. And I think it's time to stay on the island, an island established by God for our families, an island of freedom, an island where faith is still okay. Monday through Saturday, we don't have to keep our faith in our cute little churches on Sunday. No, our faith can come out and express itself in our education, in our economics, and everything. And that's the kind of system that we want to defend on this radio program today. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Generations Radio Broadcast. I hope that you've been encouraged by what you've heard on this program today. We want sponsors for our radio program to keep us on the air. We need 120, and right now we stand at 50. So we need just 70 more of you families out there listening to the program who are willing to give us $10 a month. Just $10 a month or $20 a month to keep us on the air. If we can get 120 of you, we're still on the air. And we can bring this message of truth, biblical worldview, and relationships to a lost and lonely world. And if you'd like to be one of those sponsors, please call right now. Call 877-842-2432 and be our 51st sponsor on this radio program. Again, call 877-842-2432 to sponsor our radio program. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at KevinSwanson.com. Get your friends and family members to tune into us at KevinSwanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast the vision for the next generation.